coding campers, it's Monday, and that means it's time for NFTN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
All right. Welcome back to another day of MSDN Radio. Today is May 24th. It is the day where we're 2 weeks out from Tech Ed, which is coming up down in New Orleans. There's a lot of fun, a lot of great stuff going on out there. MSDN Radio is a radio show where you can participate, join the conversation, and talk to our guests and ask the tough questions. We've got John Durant on today. To kind of give you some background on what we're doing, we've got next week we have no show. It's Memorial Day, and so we may be posting just a recording of something, but we don't have a live show scheduled. And then we're going to be live at Tech Ed and doing some interviews while we're there. You can get to the past shows by going out to msdnradio.com and then clicking on a link to register to the podcast. And then there's also links to go out and view them on Channel 9 so you can actually listen to what's going on. Today we've got a special guest from the office team, John Durant, who comes to us all the way from Redmond. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, it's great to have you on the show. We've got a lot of stuff that's been keeping you busy, it sounds like.
Most definitely. You know, we just released Office 2010, SharePoint 2010. You know, this was the big launch we've been leading up to for a few years. And so we've got the business launch behind us. We're about to go into the consumer launch where you'll start to see, you know, ads on TV and things like that. That's all still upcoming. But we've got still a lot ahead of us, and it's an exciting time.
Hey, that's awesome. So what has got you mostly excited about the Office launch? I mean, what is it about Office that gets you excited?
Well, I like to think about Office, first of all, just as a user, because even though I've been doing solutions development with Office for well over a decade, I still, day in and day out, I'm an Office user. Mm-hmm. And I got a job to do, and I produce a lot of documents, and I present a lot of things. It's most of what I do is all about communication, communicating ideas. And so for me, look, even though I work at Microsoft, these things have to deliver the goods for me, or my job, you know, my paycheck starts to suffer. So I look at it from a user standpoint, and I do like what I see in the product. There are a number of features that have made my life easier. I'll just rattle off a couple of those, and then, you know, obviously people want to talk more about the solution side here because this is MSDN, but I do want to highlight, you know, just from a user, mm-hmm. what do I like? One of my favorites is the ignore button in Outlook.
Oh, yeah.
We talk a lot about it, but man alive, that thing has saved my life. I get, you know, hundreds of emails each day, and a couple of hundred of those are ones I actually have to respond to or do something with, and the ignore button helps me sift through other ones. So I love that. I do like the backstage view and the unifying ribbon now across all the applications. I'm pretty glad to see that. I like the smoothness of that experience. I like the tighter integration with SharePoint, being able to also save my documents up to SkyDrive. You know, that's something that's built into the product. So for all my personal documents now, I just save them all up on SkyDrive, you know, with my Windows Live account. And, you know, I don't have to back up my files anymore because they're all up on SkyDrive.
Does it cost to have SkyDrive, or does that come with it?
No, you can just go to Windows Live and open up an account, and you get SkyDrive with it.
Just 25 gig of space for nothing.
You got it. Yep, that's it. So, you know, that ability to save those things up there and not have to, you know, worry, gee, if my computer, you know, if my hard disk goes down or something, you know, if I have a hardware failure, mm-hmm. do I lose all my documents? I just save them all up there. So those are the things from a user standpoint. My life's a lot more productive.
Yeah, well, one of the things you mentioned was the ignore conversation, and I've been playing around with it a little bit, but I've got a question for you.
Sure.
How do I unignore a conversation that maybe I start caring about?
Ah, very good. So if you go back like look, because when you ignore, your items get moved to the deleted items folder.
Uh-huh.
If you go back into the deleted items folder and highlight one of the items that was ignored,
mm-hmm.
and then go to the ignore button again, it actually allows you to unignore.
Oh, that's cool. So it's just a simple matter of going out and pulling it, huh?
Yeah, what it won't do, and I'm a little bit off the top of my head on some of this because I actually haven't had to unignore, but what I believe it doesn't do is it doesn't automatically move all those ignored files back into your inbox,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a good thing anyway because you know, it could be hundreds of messages that you now have scattered throughout your inbox. So I don't think it undeletes them all, but it does, as my recollection, it does unignore the future messages that you receive.
So basically lists a flag from that subject line and says if something else comes in on this from the same group of people, okay, go ahead and allow it to start coming in again.
Correct, because really what it's doing in a way is it's just shortcutting setting a rule for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's why, because each thread that comes into Outlook gets a certain ID.
Oh.
So each thread gets a unique identifier. And that's one of the key ways that Outlook works is it looks at, you know, messages and said here each message has a unique identifier,
mm-hmm.
and each conversation or thread has its own unique identifier. So there are multiple ways that, you know, that the Outlook uses to identify, you know, threads and so on. So that's you're basically using a shortcut rule in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know internally how that works, but I can just tell you, you know, functionally, it's basically creating a shortcut rule for you that says any conversations that have this identifier, put them here. And that's really all rules do anyway.
So this sounds like a Tools for Office kind of an application add-in that made it into the product.
One could think of it that way. Again, I don't know from an implementation standpoint.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any of that source code inside of Outlook, so I don't know how they actually implement it. I'm sure it's a lot more sophisticated. You know, if I had someone from the Outlook engineering team, they'd, you know, wrestle me to the ground and say, you lie, you know, yeah, how could you say that? Exactly. You know, it's way more complicated than that, and it is, I'm sure, you know, but just functionally I'm saying that's generally what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be going down to Tech Ed, I understand, down in New Orleans.
Yes, I will be in New Orleans be at Tech Ed. I'm presenting two sessions down there, and, you know,
I've seen you present before, and you've got a real energy in your topics and the way that you talk, the way that you're able to bring in the audience. I'm sure they're going to be a lot of fun. What are the topics you're going to be talking about?
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I cut you off.
My two topics are Outlook Social Connector. So one of the coolest things that we introduced in Outlook, in my view, in this release, is the ability to connect to social networks and surface those inside of the Outlook experience. So, you know, right now we have partnership with LinkedIn, for example. We have one with Facebook. We've announced one with MySpace as well. So we've got these. We've got the Facebook. I mean, the MySpace and the LinkedIn ones are already out there, so people can use those. And basically, what they allow you to do is, when I receive a message from, let's say, you, Mike,
mm-hmm.
and you and I happen to be friends on LinkedIn as well, but you send me an email, you know, John, are you going to be there for MSDN Radio? You better be ready. These people are going to ask good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I see your message in the reading task pane inside of Outlook, I will also note it'll surface any of the activities in LinkedIn that you've been recently doing. So, you know, maybe you put something in there about you're going to on a trip to Asia or something like that.
Right.
So I'll see that kind of information or recent messages or calendar items. And so that surfaces right inside of Outlook. So we're really just trying to bring in that social experience inside of one of the best social applications in the world, and that is Outlook. Now, that's great for these kind of big partnerships like with LinkedIn and MySpace. You know, we have these great partnerships with them, and, you know, there's this great development effort. But one of the things that I hear pretty frequently from enterprises, they say, well, we want to be able to do that kind of thing, but we want to do it inside of our enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this infrastructure that was used to create the provider for, let's say, LinkedIn is the same infrastructure that a company could use to develop their own provider. So if there's some other network out there that isn't already, you know, one of these three that I've just mentioned, or if there's some proprietary one that's unique inside of an enterprise, they can leverage that same infrastructure, create their own provider, and then surface that inside of Outlook. So that's one of the sessions I'll be doing. The second session I'll be doing, and I don't remember which order off the top of my head, what order I'm doing them in, but the other one is the more overview session. It's what's the next wave of productivity solutions with Office and SharePoint and just basically the whole platform stack. All right, you know, where do we go from here? What's new, and how do I leverage it to solve real world problems? You know, I come from a consulting background, so long before I came to Microsoft, I worked as a consultant in the real world delivering solutions for customers, and so I care deeply about whether these things actually matter. You know, I'm a customer, I've got, you know, a billing system, you know, we're a fairly, you know, we're a medium or a small-sized company, it doesn't matter, it could be a huge enterprise, but I've got a billing system, we've got this proprietary database out there, and I'd like to be able to do my billing inside of Excel or, you know, something like that. Well, how do you make that, how do you connect those dots? And there are some pretty game-changing things that we've added in this release that, you know, enable that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And on, you know, look, I tell people, in all honesty, they'll say, well, is this, you know, are these things that are only possible with Office 2010 and SharePoint 2010 and so on? And I say, no, actually, in all honesty, no. I coded some pretty advanced things back in 2001 and 2002, doing some of the same things that I can do now. But here's the difference.
It just made it so much easier because the tools are getting better.
It is so much easier. I mean, things where I liken it. Here's the analogy that I like to use is I say, back in that day, we were basically creating a computer, mm-hmm. but we were starting with a box of sand.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's like, okay, here's what we need at the end of the conveyor belt.
Right.
Here's a swimming pool of sand. Please create said computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas now we're really just giving people a box of components and saying, here, assemble them together. And I know that that's a bit of an oversimplification. I mean, code still needs to get laid down,
mm-hmm.
but a lot more things are built in. The tools are so much more mature, so much more aware of what the platform stack really looks like. You know, we used to talk about platform, and it was true.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the challenges was that developers would go into Visual Studio and they didn't really see the platform tooling. So we would say, hey, Office and SharePoint work really well together. You can tie them together and we do those, and that's great. But they would go into Visual Studio and they had Office tools, but they didn't have SharePoint tools. Now when they go into Visual Studio 2010, they see the Office tools and right alongside them, you know, side by side in the templates, they'll see SharePoint tools. So they can say, great, I need to create a SharePoint content type.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they go file, new project, although we've changed the menus to look a little bit better now. But, you know, basically the same idea, file, new project, SharePoint project. It'll create a SharePoint project. Then they can say, okay, I'm going to add a content type. I'm going to add a list definition. I'm going to add a list instance. I'm going to add a web part. They can add different things. They can develop those with some rich tooling right inside of Visual Studio. Hit F5, debug that project on SharePoint on a test server.
Mm-hmm.
They can then say, great, now I've got this solution out on SharePoint. And by the way, all of that's connected with team development.
Mm-hmm.
So not only let's say I create those assets to begin with, but I publish them to our team foundation server, and then other team members can get in on the game. And they can help me create this content type and the event receiver and the workflow and all of that. We do it in a team environment. We're doing code check-in, check-out. We've got all the team tools. We can create our own little test harnesses and unit tests and all of that stuff for this SharePoint solution. So this is a fully mature SharePoint development. And then we say, great, that's running. Now what I want to do is I want to connect all of this to an add-in inside of Word. So I want to – or Excel in the example I was using just a moment ago. So now I've got this great SharePoint solution running, but I want to surface some of these things through a task pane inside of Excel. And that's – They go right back into Visual Studio, file new project, Excel add-in, and away they go. They're coding away. And then they can package all of that up into a SharePoint deployment package. They can have the Office deployment. We've simplified the deployment story so that they don't have to lay down as many prereqs. And so that's pretty game-changing. And, again, could I have done, you know, a fair number of those things, you know, 10 years ago? Maybe. Some of them, I can tell you categorically, no.
Yeah.
But some of them, yes. But it would have required so much more code, I would have had to, you know, there would have been much more project management overhead because we couldn't have worked as much in a team environment.
Yeah.
Debugging would have been hell on earth. And so, you know, it's a much improved scenario.
So it's all possible, and the challenge is to say, okay, you know, just like any technology problem can be addressed in a number of different ways. And, yeah, you could do it on the mainframe, but it's going to take a ton of code and a ton of work and a ton of time, which today you can do in two or three lines of code. That's the beauty of the advances in the frameworks and the tools and everything else. I think that's why I love my job.
Yeah,
hey,
definitely. You know, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you one of the things we do in the show, and we're at that point where we open up the phone lines to questions from the audience. Are you up for some questions?
Oh, yes, I love that.
Well, great. Well, we've got Scott in Minneapolis who's been on the line waiting with a question. You there, Scott?
Yes, I am. Hey, I'm curious to know where's the future, or even where are we at today with moving Office completely onto the web with either web-based or Servlet-based browser capabilities so that we're avoiding client installs altogether.
Okay, good question. By the way, Scott, you're in my hometown. I grew up in Minneapolis area, so I love it back there. I did want to hear more of a Minnesota accent, but it's okay.
Sorry, dear. We'll try it better next time, eh?
Yeah, there we go. So what I would say is this, you know, look, in Office 2010, we've introduced the Office web apps, which, you know, huge reception on that. People are excited about that. Keeping in mind that the Office web apps are a light, you know, experience in that, you know, it's full document fidelity, but it's not 100% features. So in other words, you can open up a Word document on the server using the Office web apps, and you can do basic editing and so on, and you see, you know, a familiar user experience with the ribbon and so on. And like I said, full document fidelity, and that's true for, you know, Excel or whatever the case may be. But what we have definitely seen is that people still really do appreciate a much richer authoring experience. And those are things that the Office applications, as you say, the client side, you know, WinWord.exe running on a client provides that experience. The same is true of Outlook. You know, as much as people love the Outlook web experience, there's still a lot of things that the Outlook client application does in a smoother way, in a high-performant way. And so I think that there's a strong case to still be made for these rich client applications. That said, I think you will still see us continue to, you know, evolve what the web experience, and what we said about Office in this release and SharePoint is we say it's the best experience across PC, phone, and browser. And so we really don't look at them as either ors. We look at them as how can we provide the best experience across all screens. So if I'm on my phone, what I want to do there is a much different experience, really. I don't want to do rich editing. What I mostly want to do is view and, you know, look at things. If I'm in the browser, I typically don't want to do some of the high-powered editing type of things that I want to do when I'm in the rich client. And so you can start to see how we're really just trying to reach on all fronts to provide a better experience. And so I think you'll see us continue to just enrich that experience across all fronts going forward.
So, John, on that same point, the Outlook web apps, you know, like Outlook web app, that's a Ajax JavaScript-based client as opposed to a Silverlight-based client. Do you see Silverlight moving into the actual Office products looking forward for some of the client pieces?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I failed to acknowledge that piece, Scott. Yeah, good question about the Silverlight angle. Thanks for bringing it back to my attention. You know, I don't have insight from our engineering side as to, you know, what the main vehicle of web investment will be. I don't really have that level of insight. And it's also pretty early in our planning process. You know, obviously we've got strong commitments on the web in a number of technologies. When you look at what's, you know, happened with HTML, you know, that has really, you know, evolved quite a bit, very rich. Obviously, we continue to use Silverlight in things like Bing and so on. It's an important part of what we're doing. Will we, you know, select one of those, or, you know, will we leverage all of those? I don't really have insight from an engineer perspective, but I do know that, you know, no matter what we do, we will work very hard to make sure that, you know, it matches sort of what our customers really want.
Sure. Hey, we've got another question, and this is coming from Baskin, who says that he has been to one of your presentations in Minneapolis some years ago. You there, Baskin?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Baskin, John. Hello, John.
How you doing?
Hi, good. We met in 2002 back in Visual Studio .NET 1.1. He gave a 2 days free seminar for at the Microsoft office. I remember your enthusiasm by then. That was amazing. So.
Well, thank you. I actually do remember that. I did that in Bloomington. Yeah, that's right. I remember doing those presentations. I mean, it's been a long time. You know, I appreciate what you said. My enthusiasm, I've had some people say, you know, it's an act, or I've had a few people say, you know, it's maybe too much. I don't know. Look, I just do what I do, and I'm actually not putting on a show. When I get up there, I am what I am. If I were Steve Ballmer, and, you know, maybe people wouldn't question what I do because they go, well, that's him, you know. But it is what I do, and as long as, you know, most people tend to like it. And so I want to communicate ideas, but I want to make it somewhat entertaining.
So, Bassie, do you have a question for him?
Yeah, I have a quick question, Jan, about the Visual Studio Tools for Office. What do you see about that? You know, last time I did this, I did a lot of comm calls and everything. Now, do we have everything in managed code? Do we have to worry about it too much?
Good question. So, you know, when you use the tool, the Office tools inside of Visual Studio, and keep in mind, by the way, we no longer refer to them. Just I'm using this as my moment, my little tiny soapbox here to get the message out that we no longer refer to them as VSTO or Visual Studio Tools for Office. Because starting with Visual Studio 2008, we just baked them into Visual. So they're just Visual Studio, and they're the Office development tools, you know, within Visual Studio. So those tools, as you well have noted, they provide you the ability to make calls into the COM object models of Office. In other words, and so just a quick review for anybody who maybe is new to this or who listens to this recording later, Office is not written in managed code. By and large, the code that we've had there is, you know, written mostly in C++, and it's COM-based. And COM, I won't give you the full tutorial on COM, but, you know, how COM objects communicate and how you communicate with COM objects is very different than what happens with the .NET framework. And so what we did was in the Office tools in Visual Studio, we make it easy to call into those COM APIs through managed code without having to worry about some of the complexities that go along with that. That was very rudimentary back in 2003, and we have improved that over time. So let me bring you up to speed with 2010. If you use Visual Studio 2010 targeting the .NET Framework 4.0 against Office 2010, you no longer need to use the primary interop assemblies. So you don't need to use the PIAs, what we call the PIAs, which are basically managed wrappers around the COM APIs so that managed code can talk to COM code, you know, COM objects. And so using .NET 4.0 with VS 2010 and targeting, you know, the new release of Office, you don't have to worry about that. Why that's important is it really just makes it much more transparent. And in a way, it sort of puts to rest the question that used to linger, and it should start to disappear at this point, and that is, you know, could you please – we used to hear this – could you please rewrite all of the Office applications in managed code? And the main reason people wanted to do that was because they wanted to make it easier to call into the Office applications from managed code. And that really has been put to rest, I think, or at least very, very close to being definitively gone with this release because, you know, and especially if we, and just as a side note, when I talk to customers and I say, okay, I used to, you know, like 5 years ago when they would propose that to me, I'd say, okay, would you want to dedicate the Office team to rewriting all these applications in managed code, or would you want these priorities? And I would list things that they've asked for years in terms of, you know, features and new ideas, and they'd say, oh, no, I want those new ideas and features. Yes. So it's the right call, and I think we've made the right architecture now to continue to invest in programmability for the client without having this constant question of, you know, what should it be, COM or .NET?
Thank you. Great.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, to speak about that, I mean, the Visual Studio 2010 comes with a lot of this stuff already baked in. Is it the professional and higher that has the tools for Office?
That's correct. So it's the Pro SKU, and, you know, then the things that come with sort of the what we call the team suites,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Because a lot of the audience for this is people that are using Visual Studio or are developers. I suppose there's, you know, people that cross all spectrums. But you know, when I get done with these, it's like, okay, well, where can I go out and get you know, help on this or download that, what version do I need for whatever. I noticed that inside of the professional, I can go out and I can create Office projects, and it includes SharePoint in there, but you have to have a SharePoint instance installed on Windows 7. Does that sound right?
Yes. So one of the things that we wanted to do is make it easier for people to create these SharePoint solutions. And, you know, one of the challenges that we've had is that people would say, well, look, I can't set up Windows Server 2008, you know, 64-bit with SharePoint on it for every developer. And so we wanted to make it easier for developers to get in on the game, to write some of the code. Obviously, testing and you know, doing the kind of rigor still needs to happen on a full-blown SharePoint server, but we did want to sort of democratize and make it easier for people to get going with the SharePoint coding.
Yeah, because it was kind of a challenge to try to get a SharePoint developer environment set up in previous editions. I mean, not that it's impossible or whatever, but it was just if you're running a regular consumer like Windows type of an operating system, Vista or whatever, it was a little bit of work to get it all to go.
Indeed, yeah, we heard that feedback pretty consistently, and it was expensive too. I mean, that was an expensive proposition. How we want a lot more SharePoint developers. We have a lot streaming in, but we want more and more. Let's go, and you've got to lower the bar basically to make it easier for people to get in on the game.
You really do. Hey, we've got time for one more question, I think, and we've got Paul out in Dassel. Paul, are you there?
I am here, Mike.
You got a question for us?
Yes, actually, I really do. John, by the way, I love your enthusiasm, and it was a great analogy on the box of sand versus the components. That was really fabulous.
Thank you.
My question actually harkens back a little bit to Scott's, which is about Silverlight and the Office tools. What are you guys – can you maybe speak a little bit to the direction that you guys are going for allowing Silverlight applications to be using the Office tools on the client side and also up on the server side for pre-packaging some of the, you know, processing some data and then sending components down to robust Silverlight apps, because I'm really interested. I'm working on a kind of a large Silverlight project that will need to have some tight integration with, like, PowerPoint. And, you know, because you want to take some of this data that we're spinning and doing all these things with and then feed it into, you know, starters for PowerPoint presentations, Word documents, those kind of things.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I appreciate the follow-up on that. What I would say is, let me put it like this. We're definitely considering, you know, new opportunities. We want to accommodate these types of scenarios that you're describing better as we continue to evolve Office and SharePoint, you know, and the developer tools link. We're in the process right now, that we've got Office 2010 and SharePoint and VS in the can, signed, sealed, delivered, we've turned our attention now to the next release. And so what I would ask of you is please email me what you want. How do you want things to work? What would make your life better? And give me some sense of what you value the most. You can email me at john.durant at Microsoft.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. Please tell me, John, look, do this, and, you know, you'll blow my mind with the next release or an interim release, who knows. I'd love to hear from you. So that would be, I think, the best thing to do, because I can tell you that some of these ideas you're describing are things that we are tossing around or, you know, they're on the evaluation docket, right? So please tell me what you think.
Outstanding.
Excellent. Well, John, we're just about out of time. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to give you a chance. Can you tell everyone what your blog is?
Yes. If you just go to blogs.msdn.com/John R. Durant. I always put my middle initial in for my other grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And so John R. Durant. And you can also find me on Twitter, which is just, you know, Twitter, John R. Durant. And
okay.
So those are two great ways to reach me, and I like to be as responsible as I can. So.
Well, that's great. We'll be adding the Twitter information out onto MSDN Radio so that people can go out and get these links and also everything else that we're talking about. Thank you for coming on. Some exciting stuff going on. Looks like you're going to be busy anyway. You've got a lot of stuff coming up, too, with your racing, and sounds like you have some kids on the way. And
Indeed. Well, thanks a lot. I want to do this again very soon.
Well, we'll have you back on. In the meantime, we're going to be putting up a quick poll onto the slide if you're on live meeting so that you can give us some feedback. We'd encourage you to take the time to send us your feedback, and also I'll be putting up a link onto MSDN Radio so you can send me email directly and let me know what you think of the show and how can we improve it. Next week, like I said, is Memorial Day. We don't have the show on Monday, but we'll be posting some recordings, and then the week after that we'll be live in Tech Ed down in New Orleans, and we'll be getting more details of upcoming shows. Be sure to follow the blog. I'm Mike Benkovich. You can follow me at mbenko on Twitter, or you can go out to my blogs on benkotips.com. So thank you, and we'll see you next time on MSDN Radio.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to msdnradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.